Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about the three most important qualities that college admissions officers look for in students. Hello, my name is Christina Campos. I am founder of The Impactful Parent, and I help parents of school-aged children turn their chaos into connection with their adolescent. I offer free parent education videos every week. I offer online courses and coaching. And if that wasn't enough, I bring experts in other fields onto the Impactful Parent stage to teach us even more. And today I have special guests, Beth and Greg Langston. And Beth and Greg have been helping kids with college admissions and activating teenagers' potential for over 20 years. Plus, they own a little business called the College Flight Plan. I'm very excited to have them on today. Thank you for being here, Beth and Greg.
Well, thanks for having us.
We're glad Christina. To be here. Pleasure to be here.
I am excited to get started. This is the perfect time because we have so many high school students trying to do those college applications. So when do students really need to get started on preparing for that college application process?
Oh, that's always a good question. Sooner than they think is what I found over the years. You know, we start working on the personal statement. You can start that at the end of junior year because we know what it's going to be. We know it's 650 words. The prompts rarely change. And so, and if they do, you have seven to choose from. So usually we try to get that out. That's always the first thing we work on. But right now, I mean, I have a lot of students who we're just now looking at it the first time, that personal essay, because it's not the only essay kids have to write. It is required in the Common App, but for every university they're applying to, which usually it averages 8 to 10 universities, depending. Some of those universities will require other essays to be written also. So once we get the 650 word personal statement out of the way, because we know that's a big one, the other ones are sometimes 250, depending where you're applying. I mean, sometimes 250, sometimes 500 words again, and they're all different prompts that we have to work hard on. So I always say the earlier, the better. And if you know what schools you're going to be applying to, we can work on the why. I always call it the why Penn essay, because our son applied to Penn and actually got accepted. But it was, why do you want to come to Penn? And you can't just have a generic, you know, general answer. You have to have done your research about that school, know which courses you're thinking of doing in your area of study, and be very specific about what the school has to offer and what you have to offer the school. So starting early is better, but we're in it right now. So it's
working.
Well,
it sounds like a lot of essays, and I think it might be. So my question to you is, what are the three most important qualities that college admission officers are looking for in students? Is one of them the application essays?
Very important, you know, because in the 20 years we've been doing this, there are three things that the college admissions officers are looking for. Of course, academic success, right?
Permission to play.
That gives you permission to play. And if you have good scores, a good GPA, a rigorous curriculum is what they're looking for also, you know, the best that you can do. And seeking outside courses. This is also very important, which I know, seniors now are filling in this whole application. So, but this is to parents who have seniors in the future, that taking outside courses are key. They love to see that kind of stuff that teaches you about what you're interested in. It doesn't have to be just school courses. And then the standardized tests, which are getting more difficult, because I have students who've studied so hard for these tests, right? And then the test gets canceled because of COVID or whatever. So, but we can write about that in the application too. If you can't submit the scores that you want, but you've tried and you've studied and you've prepared, then we can address that in the application. But anyway, so the academic success is the number one thing that they're looking for. And the next one is extracurricular. You want to talk about that?
Sure. They want you to be involved in projects and really have long-term commitments. They don't want you to just check the boxes on 15 different things. They want you to go and do something in-depth. They really appreciate an entrepreneurial commitment. And they also want you to seek internships so that you can find out what it is that you really like to do, because then that can help you give guidance for yourself and your family that this is what the kind of career that I'd like to pursue. So those are things that we suggest that you do.
Yeah, internships are key, and not paid internships. We call them internships, but it's really just on the job training. You know, approach companies, approach different professions that you like. You have to be so proactive and say, I'd like to ride along for a week. You know, our son Brad thought his whole life that he was going to be in the medical field. And then as he got older, oh, I think I want to be a surgeon. Well, he had the opportunity from knocking on doors and calling on people he knew to go in to the operating rooms for a couple of weeks with a neurosurgeon and a cardiovascular surgeon. And at the end of his time there, he's like, this is not at all what I want to do. And thankfully, he didn't waste all those years in med school figuring out what he wanted to do or that it was the wrong profession for him. And now he's in the financial world. So go figure that. But that's where those things can help. And colleges love to see that on your application. And the main thing, the other thing that colleges love to see that they're looking for students who have profound self-knowledge and self-discovery and a clear direction of where they're headed. It's very important that their students are empowered with understanding who they are and expressing that with confidence and clarity in order to gain, to have that sense of control. They love to see that you know where you're going. They search for students who know their values and their purpose and their strengths and their weaknesses and their natural inclinations, which is great. So they need students who have a plan and they have set goals and they're going to pursue a career or a profession that they will thrive in. So those are the three things they're looking for. And that's why the essays are so important, because you can, if you know a lot about yourself, you've done this self-discovery, you can write about it intelligently, which they love to see. It's a rare thing, but they love to see it.
I want to summarize that real quick one more time so the audience can really get it. The first thing that colleges are looking for is
academic accomplishment, academic success. The second one, extracurricular accomplishment.
And the third?
And the third one is a profound self-discovery and a clear direction.
And then all of that really helps you write those application essays, which are obviously also important, but it's those three things that kind of feed into that application essay.
Yes. And the essay is mainly, the other two, you know, give you permission to play pretty much. And here's the other thing. There are so many students with great GPAs, great standardized test scores, lots of great extracurricular activities that they can write about, but they can't take all those kids. There's just not room for all the great kids that are out there. And that's where with your essay, you really need to stand out. Also, I recommend calling the university to get an interview with some area alumni so you can say, this is me, this is who I am. And it will speak so well for you if you're pursuing those things. Also, call the admissions office, right, with a well thought out question that shows demonstrated interest in the university, and they love that. They will take notes on that, and it will
put
make
it in
a
your
difference
file. But they only take 8 to 12 minutes to determine if if you're going to be the one that goes to their school or not. So that's all they spend. So that's why it's important that those application essays are done really, really well.
Wow. This is so important to know, because like you said, you want your child to stand out. Mm-hmm. And so having those tips of not just writing the good essay, but calling the admissions team. I feel like so many families kind of underplay the importance of talking to that college admissions person. And it's nice to know that all that is really taking note, and they're making notes, and they're venting out your child from day one.
That's right. And you have to promote yourself. You know, it's a good lesson in all of life to promote yourself and be proactive, be positive and interested, and know what you're talking about when you ask that university. You really have to sort of research the question you want to ask them when you call them, but it will make a difference. It really will.
Something a student might do that we found that works quite well is, let's say there's a university that the student has no interest in the town where they live, and they have no interest in going to that university. They can still call and practice speaking to an admissions officer to kind of practice their spiel, to say, listen, I'm interested in coming to this university. These are my skills. These are my interests. You know, can you tell me what would be the differentiator that this university has versus some of the others that I'm looking for? And the student will get a sense of practice of going through the motions, and it won't be as hard the next time.
I love that suggestion. That is really so smart. So smart.
Well, and you know, the thing is, if you've never been through this, who would know these things, right? So it helps to get help in this and other situations too. But back to the 650 word personal statement, what they want to answer in that is here's the question. Who are you? What is your background, your personality, your identity? What makes you you? Why are you here? What is your purpose? What is your journey? What is unique about you? What are your values, your interests, your motivations, and your skills? And what matters to you? What are your passions, your goals, and your inspirations? And if you're writing about something you love, it's going to come out in your writing. So it's great.
And unfortunately, they're not teaching that in school.
Well, I mean, the English teachers, they do have teachers that are meeting with the kids now and being more proactive in what they submit, which is good. But when it comes to me, we still make a few changes and pull out the heart of that. You know, you want that heart to shine. And a lot of kids have been through many challenges in life. And that's great to tell about them. And then the bulk of the essay needs to be about how you've overcome or are overcoming these situations and how you're going to apply that to your future.
And would you suggest something really catching in the beginning to get that reader to keep moving forward, keep reading down? Or do you want it to kind of keep it more conservative of an essay, because you don't want to talk about things that might be too controversial? Or is it okay to do that because you're going to stand out? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. You can talk about most controversial things. We try to avoid politics sometimes, and a lot of times religion even.
COVID.
Well, COVID, yeah. You have an option to write a COVID essay, and unless your experience is vastly different than what everybody else has experienced, I recommend not writing it. It's not necessary. But if you've had if somebody you really care about has passed away or something like that, or your mom is in the, hospital every day, working with people, and then she caught COVID and how it affected you. Did you have more responsibility then because she couldn't come around, to be with the family? There are a lot of stories that are submissible, but unless it's very unique in the COVID situation, we don't write it.
I'd like to ask you, what's your most important piece of advice that you could give a high school student who's trying to decide what major am I even going to pick? Because I know that young kids, they feel like there's a lot of pressure to decide.
Definitely.
Absolutely. What we typically suggest is that they first identify what their values are, what their core values or character beliefs are. And we take the student through a process that helps them define that. And then once they define what their values are, they can determine what they're going to start, stop, and continue doing. Then they go through a 360 assessment where they ask up to 8 trusted advisors to give them feedback relative to what are my strengths, what do I do really well, and what do I not do well, and how do I add value to others, and what do you suggest that I would study as a major or have as a vocation? And so then the student gets back 200 data points of information, which is a lot more comprehensive than just somebody filling out an interest survey, you know, a questionnaire. They get information from people that really care about them. And so that helps them determine what their strengths are, what they're really good at doing. And then we actually help them to determine what they do to solve problems, how they instinctively problem solve. And these are key life skills that they'll be able to use for the rest of their lives, which then tells them, hey, you know what? I'm really good at doing this. And this is what I should focus on. And this is what differentiates me from my friends and my neighbors. And so then they have a greater sense of confidence.
And now I want to get toward the parents. What are some things that the parents should be doing to encourage their students to do right now? Like, what should they be saying? Hey, we need to do this ASAP.
ASAP. Wow. Get help if they can, because I always say, you know, I know some students are vastly independent and they don't want any help with their essays. They want to write it all themselves and not let anybody else read it unless it's required in their class at school. And I have a great example, this wonderfully gifted in East Indian student. She lived in Minnesota, but she didn't want any help with her essay, her mom told me when they finally got to me. And she should have been accepted to every university with everything that she's done and how she's given back to her community. But they got to me when they were getting rejection letters last year. And when you get, or on the wait list of some schools, because her grades would qualify her, her test scores would qualify her activities would qualify her. But when it came down to her essay, she showed me what she had submitted. And in the first paragraph, there was an error.
Grammatical errors.
But the essay was great. The content was great. It just needed to be reworked. So I would say get help if you can. Get eyes on it. I would also tell the student, when you brainstorm, don't worry about the word limit. You have to just let it flow. You cannot worry about how long it is while you're brainstorming. You just can't work with those parts of your brain. Those two parts don't work together. Just let it flow, and then you can go back and cut it down. But I believe, and what I've seen with my students, is that the brainstorming is more difficult than writing the essay sometimes, just coming up with those ideas. And that's why I have an ebook on our site that walks them through the process, and it walks through the brainstorming process, and the suggestions are given, because it's hard to think about that. But when you give ideas and then they write down, oh yeah, that. And then, so at the end of that process, they have all these ideas about what to write about, and they save them all, because this isn't the only essay you're going to have to write. So we save all the suggestions because it will fit into another essay, hopefully. And then they let it flow on the paper just after they've decided which prompt they're going to answer. They let it flow, and then we get to the work. And then we get to work of cutting it down, making it make sense.
But as far as other suggestions for parents, don't assume that the school is going to be taking care of every aspect of this process. Yeah. And the reason is because there are 424 students on average in the United States per college counselor. And there are fantastic college counselors, but they can't get to all the students. And so the parent needs to help the student start early, take practice exams early, go visit schools early, start volunteering and doing your extracurricular activities early. These are the things that you need to do. Look for scholarships early, because it does take time to go through that process, but it can be very fruitful because it can save you a ton of money.
I feel like a lot of students, you get a couple different types. So the first one, I'm gung-ho and they're really on top of it. And then you got the other, which is they are so excited, but it's daunting. It's scary. And so what do? They avoid, or they procrastinate, because it's so daunting. It's such a huge, not only important decisions and life-changing decisions, but also there's a lot of things to do. And that's on top of their normal day-to-day, still going to football games and homecomings and, still doing homework and AP classes. And now they got all of this college stuff on top of it. Is there any suggestions that you have for those parents that are struggling with keep nudging that kid that's like, come on, we need to start doing this application process?
Yes. And if you can come alongside and help, because they do have so much to do. And, you know, it's a hard lesson. I've had some students who, you know, did it all themselves or procrastinated and did it late and couldn't hand in that great essay because there wasn't enough time. When the deadlines are coming, you have to hand in something. And so I would say if they can come alongside and help, because now we're in the throes of it. We should be writing, have already made the first draft of that essay at least, and the other ones are coming up. That's the thing, again, that I think if you've never been through it, you don't realize there are other essays required. There are other writings required. And all these writings need to be in the student's voice, because they can tell if someone else has written their essay by the other short answers they have to give or the descriptions of their activities in another part. You know, we look over the whole thing. I try to look over the whole thing and make sure it's saying what they want to say and in their voice. So
one of the benefits that families have if the student starts early and they do the self-discovery with us or somebody else is that they can determine, hey, this is what's really important to me. And this is not really that important to me. And so why am I doing three sports? You know, am I doing it because I have my friends? Or am I going to be a professional athlete in three sports? The likelihood of that is pretty limited. Yeah. And what this allows a student to do is say, I love this one sport and I really want to continue doing that. But these other two, I really am not that excited about. And you know what? I'm going to focus my efforts on doing an internship or study on a particular aspect of my studies or do homework so that I'm not running around like a maniac and I have time to do my essays in my senior year. Those are some of the benefits of being able to intelligently deselecting things instead of adding more to your plate.
Mm-hmm. And my last question to you is, what are some of the bigger challenges that you see families face with this college application process, aside from the one I was just mentioning of that student who just keeps procrastinating because it's just so daunting?
Wow.
One I would say is that in certain cultures where the matriarch or the patriarch rules and they say, we're all doctors, you're going to be a doctor. And John or Sue goes through a self-discovery and says, I would not be a good doctor, mom or dad. And, forgive me, but, you know, look at my self-discovery that I've gone through. I would make a great architect, which is a wonderful, lauded role. But that family may have come from a mentality of you either a doctor or you're a lawyer. But if you can be an architect, you can provide the student the tools to be able to say, out of a sense of control, I have confidence that I can do this successfully. I can make a great living. I'll be passionate about it. I'll love doing that. And that's something that self-discovery really does help the student be able to counteract some of those forceful pre-intentions that families may have.
Yeah, you don't want your child to go to college and not love what they're doing or their life after, and then, or quit halfway through. You put all that money into helping them. And then, yeah, you want them on the right path from the beginning as best you can, at least.
I'll give you some interesting statistics that'll probably surprise your audience. And that is only 40% of college grads graduate in 4 years today. A full 60% of them take 6 years to graduate. And 60% of them graduate after changing majors three times. And that's because they haven't done the self-discovery. And if you figure a school costs between on the low end, 40,000 and on the high end, 80,000, and you're there for an extra 2 years, that's an extra $80,000 to $160,000 worth of debt that the student's going to have. And it's compounded even further if the student goes because the dad said or mom said, you're going to go study here and you're going to go study this. And then they drop out after 2 years and don't have the degree and can't pay for it. But we applaud every family and every student that tries to do the self-discovery and truly figure out, you know, what is it that I'm passionate about? Because a recent study came out that says that 87% of people that are 16 to 29 say they have no purpose or meaning. And that's what's contributing to them dropping out or changing majors and flying back home after college, which most parents don't want that to happen.
And if parents could just help, kids want to know what they do well, and they want to know how they can make a difference. And if parents can pull those two qualities out of their kids, what they do well, encourage them to point out what they do well, and help them to figure out how they can make a difference in life, in the world, in their family, in their community.
Now, tell us a little bit more about what you do. And so we can get that information. And if people want to, they can reach out to you.
Sure. We have, on the one hand, we'd have a self-discovery process, which is a three-step process that goes through discovery. Then you determine what you do with that discovery, and then you direct it. That's about a 12-hour program that takes the student from beginning to end. It's not all in one sitting, but it provides them the information that they need to be able to say at the end of the program, rather than have a parent say, so what did you learn in that program? Or how was school? And they go, great, fine. What it does is it part and parcel of this program, the student has to present to their parents, mom and dad, these are my values and these are why they're important to me. These are my strengths and weaknesses. These are the majors that 200 data points telling me that I should possibly consider. These are my lifetime goals in the areas of health, wealth, wisdom, and relationship. This is what I instinctively do to problem solve and how I support my decision-making process. This is my purpose statement in terms of what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. These are my 5-year goals that I have to support my lifetime goals. These are my 1-year goals. And oh, as a result of having done that, I figured out that these are my two bad habits, which historically are typically too much social media and not enough sleep. And based upon that, these are the three majors that I think I should pursue. One is a major, one is a minor, and one that I might just, you know, I might do away with, which allows me to go and graduate in 4 years instead of the 6 years. And last but not least, this is my elevator speech that I will present to you. It's a 1-minute, 150-word memorized statement that tells whoever's listening to them what makes them special, what are their strengths, what are their values, what makes them unique, and why they should be accepted to their university or to their company. And typically what that presents is a drop the mic moment at the end, because the parents are saying, how did you help my student figure all this out? That's the discovery program process. And then what you do is you take all that information and put it into your application essays, which is the second part of our process, which is what Beth focuses on.
But it's so cool to see. We love being in those final meetings with their parents when they're telling them what they've learned about themselves, because the parents see this huge transformation in their kid who now has clarity in knowing his or her values and strengths and weakness, purpose, and what they're going to do with their lives. And they have this confidence in clearly understanding and articulating what makes them unique. And they also have this new sense of control over their future, because now they have actionable plans and goals, and they can speak to all those things. That's what we love.
I love it. That's such a wonderful resource. And where can they find you?
They can find us at collegeflightplan.com, collegeflightplan.com. If they want to reach Beth, they can reach Beth at beth@collegeflightplan.com. or Greg at collegeflightplan.com.
We're here to answer any questions.
Absolutely. And for your audience, we've put together a parent starter kit to teen self-discovery, which includes a lot of information, key statistics, some of what we've talked about today, the 5 early actions that they should take, some free assessment information, ACT, SAT information, scholarship information.
I am really excited that we had you on today. It's so valuable.
Well, thanks for having us. We appreciate you.
And if you would like to become a more impactful parent, please check out all that my website has to offer. Also, I have parenting courses, family coaching, 30-day challenges, and lots of free resources. But until next time, you got this, parents. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge, browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.